Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Let's look at the land of Israel. To whom does the land belong? You can find the study on abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com. Go to Bible Studies and Sermons and click on The Land Belongs to Israel. A question that has confronted mankind for centuries is, to whom does the land of Palestine belong? Does it belong to the Arabs who lived there for generations? Does the land belong to the ancient descendants of Abraham and the chosen people of Israel? To whom did God make the promise, and who were the first people to enter the land? If people were driven out of the land by their enemies, does that disqualify them from occupying the land again? These are not just questions for politicians to ponder, but something every Bible-believing person must consider. What does the Bible teach regarding the land of Palestine and the chosen people of God? To whom does the land belong and why? Who owns the land? And from the time of creation, there is one owner. The land belongs to the Lord God, Yahweh Jehovah. So therefore, he can give it to whomever he pleases. God created the heavens and the earth and saw that it was very good. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and sin entered into mankind. And from then on, mankind made the wrong choices based upon wrong belief. Human depravity grew worse until God destroyed the earth by the great deluge. And the exception was the preacher of righteousness, Noah, and his family. And even after the flood, a new humanity, mankind still was radically depraved. The Lord God's chosen people are introduced in Genesis chapter 12. The history of Israel began with the call of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. God, in his saving grace, chose one man from the pagan idolaters in the city of Ur of the Chaldeans. His father died an idolater in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. God separated Abraham to himself and blessed him. And now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. God chose Abraham and blessed him. Included in this blessing of God to Abraham is the promised land. And verse 7 tells us, "The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him." In the next chapter, the Lord gave Abraham the dimensions for the promised land. And then in Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 through 15 tells us, "The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, 'Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever.'" The promise was renewed repeatedly to Abraham and his descendants through Isaac and Jacob in the chapters that follow in Genesis. The land belongs to Abraham and his son Isaac and his descendants forever. God demonstrated himself faithful to Abraham, and he took God at his word and trusted him to do what he said he would do. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And Abraham said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, One born in my own house is my heir. And then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, Now look toward the heavens. Count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. God entered into a covenant with Abraham. Abraham believed God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Abraham was declared righteous by faith. In the same way, we are declared righteous before God the Father when we place our faith in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God entered a covenant with Abraham, sealed by a blood covenant. And the interesting thing about this covenant God entered with Abraham is that it is one-sided. God cut the covenant with Abraham. Abraham slew the animals, laid them before the Lord God, and God caused Abraham to fall into a deep sleep. Abraham did not participate in the ritual personally. He could only observe the cutting of the covenant. And it came about when the sun had set that it was very dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between these pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I have given this land, and from the river of Egypt as far as the river Euphrates. Genesis chapter 15, verses 17 and 18. The burning lamp symbolized the Shekinah glory of God. God was solemnly responsible for this covenant with Abraham. It is one-sided. God was binding himself by a blood covenant to fulfill the covenant promise to Abraham. It was not a conditional promise. God was solely responsible for this covenant. So the promise was repeated, not in regard to Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and Hagar, the Egyptian maid, but to Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you through your generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. It's an everlasting possession, meaning in perpetuity, continuance as long as the earth shall last. And this is the strongest expression for eternity in the Hebrew language. Abraham asked the question about Ishmael being the son of the promise. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 18 tells us, And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And the Lord God makes the promise extremely clear to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 19. God said, No, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. The land in the covenant stretched from the Nile River to the Euphrates River and from Persian Peninsula to the Asia Minor. It's very clear from this covenant promise that to Abraham and his descendants through Isaac, the land of Palestine belongs to Israel forever. Does the state of Israel currently possess all of the promised land? No. they share only a limited amount of the land promised to Abraham and his descendants. Down through the centuries, the land has passed back and forth from God's chosen people to their enemies. Abraham's descendants spent 400 years in Egypt and became slaves. God delivered his chosen people from the Egyptian slavery and redeemed them by the Passover lamb. As a nation, they became his people, again fulfilling the promises to Abraham when God said, "I have made you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you." In Genesis chapter 17, verse 6. In Genesis chapter 21 and 22, the promise is further refined to the descendants of Isaac through his son Jacob, not Esau. After 400 years, did the land still belong to Abraham's descendants through Isaac and Jacob? Yes. Deuteronomy chapter 28 tells us that God will punish his people for disobedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64, "And then moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all peoples, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. And there you will serve other gods, wood and stone, which you and your fathers have not known." The books of Kings and Chronicles tells us the tragic story of idolatry and disobedience. Did God forsake his sinful people? No. He was faithful because he is determined to fulfill his eternal purposes through his chosen people. Israel was exiled to Assyrian Babylon because of her unfaithfulness to the Lord God. God brought them back into the land after 70 years of Babylonian captivity. This was in keeping of the promise in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. "For thus the Lord said, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you and bring you back to this place." Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. Israel was treated cruelly under the Romans, who carried off hundreds of thousands of Jews into slavery. Jesus was ultimately crucified by the Romans. And what about the rejection of Jesus Christ as the Messiah? How does that affect the choice of Israel as the chosen people? What is the status of Israel now? Did the church replace Israel as the chosen people? God is sovereign, and he is able to make promises and keep them regardless of sinful man. Every one of us who are saved by grace understands that he is faithful even when we are not. Some interpreters seem to have double standards when it comes to Israel. Israel disobeyed and was punished. We disobey and we too are chastised. However, God is faithful to his promises. The Apostle John tells us, and he, referring to Jesus, came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. John chapter 1, verse 11. And just before his death, Jesus made this prophecy regarding Jerusalem and Israel in Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 24. And Jesus said, "They will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Luke chapter 21, verse 24. He makes clear predictions about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple that literally came true just as he said. And once again, the people of Israel were removed from the land and dispersed all over the earth as a punishment for their sins. The Roman general Titus encircled the city of Jerusalem with troops and put the city under siege beginning in AD 68. Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70 and again in AD 132 to 135. The Emperor Vespasian completely destroyed and plundered the temple and slew tens of thousands of Jews. The weaker, the aged, were killed without exception. The remainder was carried off to Rome. not a single Jew was left in the city. For many years, Jewish people were not allowed to live in Jerusalem or even its surroundings. And once every 7 years, and only one day, they were allowed to go to the hill and mourn in the vicinity of the city. In AD 132, the pseudo-Messiah Kochavar led another insurrection and was destroyed by the Roman Emperor Hadrian, who made Jerusalem a permanently pagan city and named it Aelia Capitolina, with a pagan shrine on the Temple Mount. It was changed to a pseudo-Christian under Constantine. And then in AD 637, it was taken over by the Muslims under Omar. Finally, in 1948, it became a Jewish city once again. The punishment of the Jews has a limit. The time is probably until the end of the present age of the Gentiles, when Christ will come and will divine majesty and power rule. At that point, the Great Tribulation will begin. There was a 100-year streak of independence under the Maccabees, but they did not have a descendant of King David as king. They lived in the land, but no descendant of David was on the throne. However, Israel's national entity was never lost as a result of the dispersion. And thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for the light of day and the fixed order of the moon and the stars by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel also will cease from being a nation before me forever. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 35 through 36. Their chastisement will continue until the Lord regathers his people into their own land and causes them to see his glory. From AD 135 until the present time, the nation Israel has been dispersed all over the world. The modern Jewish people are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Israel has continued as a nation and is in existence today by the mighty hand of the Lord God. The covenant is an everlasting covenant, and the land is promised to Israel as an everlasting possession. Will Israel again occupy the promised land? For the first time since AD 70, the nation of Israel is an independent and self-sustaining political state. How does this fit into the fulfillment of biblical prophecy regarding Israel? Many passages of Scripture speaks of Israel's future as a nation in her own land. These passages indicate that Israel will occupy their promised land. It is an everlasting possession. Samuel Wilkinson wrote that the Old Testament promises are all as certain of fulfillment in their Old Testament sense as the meaning and the purpose of Israel as are in the New Testament promises concerning the fulfillment of the church. A passage of Scripture important to the discussion of Israel and her relation to the future is found in Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 through 27. And time does not permit us to study this passage in detail. Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27 says, "And then after 62 weeks the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war. Desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he will put a stop to the sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of the abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate." This passage is referring to the same events as Jesus predicts in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21. The first 483 years have been literally fulfilled. Jerusalem was rebuilt, and as indicated in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, and the Messiah was cut off after 483 years in A.D. 30. The events during the final 7 years are yet to be fulfilled. The simplest way to take these passages is stated by Wolvert. Israel's glorious restoration and the millennial kingdom will follow the second advent of Christ and continue throughout the 1,000 years of Christ's reign on the earth. The prophet Ezekiel looked across the centuries and wrote the words of the Lord God, "I will bring you out of the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered, with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will enter into judgment with you face to face, as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt. And so I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge from you the rebels and those who transgress against me. And I will bring them out of the land where they sojourn. But they will not enter the land of Israel. And thus you will know that I am the Lord." Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 34 through 38. The Hebrew prophet Amos saw the same day when he wrote, "And also I will restore captive of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them, and they will also plant vineyards and drink their wine, and make gardens and eat their fruit. I will also plant them on their own land, and they will not again be rooted out from their land which I have given to them, says the Lord your God." Amos chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. These passages point to a day when Jesus Christ returns to the earth in a sovereign king and will put down every enemy and reign. It will be a time when God will regather the nation of Israel back to the land again. The history of the Old Testament is largely in fulfillment of the great prophecies of Scripture. Literally hundreds of prophecies have been fulfilled. The Old Testament predicted 3 dispensations of the land, and these were fulfilled. First, in her descent into Egypt and the subsequent bondage and release and the return to the land. Second, the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, which removed Israel once again from the land, and her subsequent return after 70 years in Babylon. And third, her dispossession once again after the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. The broad movement of Israel possessing the land and being dispossessed of it formed the important background for her entire history. Another important factor is the Davidic kingdom, the throne promised to David and his seed forever. Again, note the lineage: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and his descendants. The question is the state of Israel today the fulfillment of these prophecies? No one can deny the fact that no ancient nation has ever come back to existence after 2,000 years. Never before has any ancient people, scattered down through the centuries, returned to their ancient land and regained its independence as a nation. Only Israel, with over 4,000 years of existence, remains a separate people. It's nothing short of a miracle. We are not talking about Ishmael and his descendants, but the descendants of Abraham through his son Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. The regathering of Israel will continue. The time of Jacob's trouble will come, and Israel will be persecuted during the Great Tribulation. Christ will return from heaven to descend to Mount of Olives and deliver his persecuted people. And from Jerusalem, he will reign over the earth 1,000 years. The state of Israel is probably not the end of time Israel. but it is definitely a work of God preparing for such a time. Every day when you see Israel in the news, you're reminded that the existence of Israel is a miracle beyond any shadow of doubt. Israel exists today because it is the sovereign purpose of God. He brought the remnant back into Palestine during the past 100 years. He established her as a nation on May 14, 1948, and he has protected her over the past 60 years. The White Pentecost gives a good summary of the coming events regarding Israel. What is the relation of the newly formed state of Israel to this prophetic program? Have these prophecies already been fulfilled? Will there be a future fulfillment in the establishment of the state of Israel? A study of the scriptures compels us to say that what we have recently seen of the establishment of the state of Israel is not the direct fulfillment of these prophecies. God today is not working toward the fulfillment of the program for Israel. That nation was temporarily set aside when they rejected Christ, and God today is calling out from among both Jews and Gentiles a people for his name, until the church, which is his present age program, has been removed by the translation. God will not move toward the fulfillment of these prophecies for Israel until the church, which is his present age program, has been removed by translation. What is to be concluded is that God is setting the stage for this great drama, is getting the actors all in place so that at a moment's notice, he will move to fulfill the momentous events following the anticipated rapture of the church. Coming events are casting the shadows before them. The world is being made conscious of Israel because God has never forsaken his people and will not until Christ comes. In the words of the Apostle Paul, God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Romans chapters 9 through 11 describes the sovereign hand of the Lord God upon his people. He is not through with his people. There is a glorious future for Israel when Christ returns and reigns for 1,000 years upon the earth. Let us keep clearly in mind the second coming of Jesus Christ is imminent. He will come like a thief in the night, and there is nothing to keep him from coming today to take born-again believers to be with himself. And that coming will be a time for the events of the great tribulation to unfold before the eyes of the world. There are some beautiful promises in this passage of Scripture. Are you ready for Christ to come? You will not have a second chance when Jesus Christ comes back. Our job today is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Perhaps he's waiting for you to believe on him as your personal Savior. Also, God has reestablished Israel in the land. The land belongs to Israel. God is working out his eternal purpose through his people. Also, Israel is back in the land. Israel today is in the proper place to enter into the covenant anticipated in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. No nation has ever treated Israel with hatred and survive. Listen to the words of God to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. As a nation, we had better be careful how we treat the people of Israel. When a man dies, a physician has to write the death certificate, the cause of the death, said Donald Barnhouse. And when the nation dies, more often than not, the cause of the death is that nation has mistreated the Jews. What about your relationship with Jesus Christ? May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.